Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who with the Holy Spirit are three in one. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, I think we would all admit that sometimes we need a little more childlike faith in us. The world has taken so much of that humility, so much of that faith away from us. May we begin today, Heavenly Father, to build that faith back. Open our hearts and minds to your message and help us, Heavenly Father, to live according to your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today is a day of celebration, not just the fish fry. Today we celebrate with God as he works within our Sunday school. We've installed teachers to carry on this incredibly important task of training up our children in the way that they should go so that they are, when they are old, they will not depart from it. Proverbs 22, verse 6. So I have some advice for you teachers, and I want you to listen closely. Actually, that's the advice. Listen closely. Because some of the greatest lessons that are going to be learned are not going to be the ones that you teach. They are lessons that can only be shared by a child of faith. The lesson of pure faith, not yet corrupted by the world. The faith that shouts Jesus at the top of its lungs when someone asks who the Savior is. A faith where doubt and fear haven't yet stained the soul, and where the devil has no firm grasp. The faith of a child. I have to remind myself that when I was young, I indeed had the faith of a child. When I got my first Bible, I remember how excited I was. My own Bible, filled with lots of stories and pictures about Jesus. I must have been maybe 5 years old, and I can remember walking up to the front of the church to get my Bible. I was so excited. It was so awesome. It even had my name on it. I couldn't take my eyes off it. And I couldn't wait until I got home so I could open it up and see all the pictures and read all the stories. I looked at the pictures and I was so excited to see a picture of someone who had the same name as me, Daniel. He was standing in a lion's den, and I imagined that that was really me and how terrified Daniel would be, because I certainly would have been very terrified. I saw Jonah being swallowed by a big fish and David standing over dead Goliath. And it wasn't until I wrote this down that I realized how graphic these pictures were. I saw Jesus. He's sitting with children, just like me, surrounding him, looking so happy. But I was young then, and now I've grown older. It's no longer easy for me to be inspired by pictures. I'm sure many of you can relate. It seemed easier to believe than it is now. And I wonder why that is. How did we adults lose our childlike faith and optimism? How did we lose that humility, that trust? At what point did we move on? When did the world first start to captivate us and lead us away from spiritual things? Jesus said, "Let the children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." So what do children possess that grant them the keys to the kingdom? It is their faith uncorrupted. Jesus was teaching his disciples that it was people who have faith like a child who are going to inherit the kingdom of God. So adults, why did our faith start to erode? Could it be because our childlike fantasies that had to do with Santa and the Tooth Fairy wore thin and reality set in and we wondered if we'd ever believe in anything again? Could it be because some of our prayers to God weren't answered in our time? Could it be because we have limited God by shaping him into our own image instead of the other way around? Or could it be that we have become so content with simply going through the motions that our faith rarely gets challenged to the point that we eventually become as complacent as our attitude? At some point, our faith was tested, and we gave in, despite God's attempt to carry us. When God challenged us to walk with him in faith, we took a different path, and that path led to doubt. Our gospel lesson has to do with childlike faith. So let me set the stage for you. Peter, James, and John have just witnessed the transfiguration of the Lord, which means they saw Christ change in front of them, revealing his glory. Jesus has healed a mute boy possessed by a demon who the disciples had no power to heal because of their lack of faith. They have moved to Galilee, where Jesus is talking to the crowds, and the topic of who is the greatest in the kingdom comes up. I think they were expecting a certain lesson, but I don't think they got the answer they were expecting. More about that later. Maybe many of you grew up in Christian households where the perception of Christianity was an extremely long set of rules. One mistake we make as parents is that we get so caught up in the rules of faith that we lose the beauty of faith. And we squeeze this childlike faith out of our children with a warning not to do this or that. We do what we should. We're enforcing right and wrong, but sometimes we get so bogged down in legalism. And Lutherans, well, we're known for that. When we put so much emphasis on the rules, we forget that faith is not about rules. Faith is about relationship. Faith is an action word. In our attempts to bring up our children in the faith, we portray God as some kind of dictator, a God that keeps a naughty list. We don't properly portray God as a loving God, one that loves us so much that he actually would give up his son so that we could live forever. A God who cares, a God who guides, not with a whip, but with the love shown in his word. Earlier in the story, we have the disciples, and in this case, there were 9 of them because 3 of them went up into the mountain with Jesus. And we're told that these 9 disciples, they're arguing with the scribes. When Jesus asks them what they're arguing about, in our story, someone speaks up. It's the father of a boy that he wishes to be healed. He tells them that he came to get his son cured, but the disciples were not able to help. The religious leaders are probably telling them that they have no authority over this. They can't do these kind of things. And despite their inability to make a difference in the child's life, they continue to try but fail. This is one of those things I think that reminds me of what robs us of our childlike faith. Failure. Here, the disciples are trying to do what is right, but they're failing. We can imagine that they're a little humiliated, especially in front of the scribes, not being able to do what they attempted to do to this boy, to heal him. Each mistake and blunder that we make, each piece of bad advice that we give, each time we try to share our faith with little or no response, it chips away at that childlike faith. When facing the demons of failure, we have to remember that failure is an event, not a person. You cannot be a failure. God doesn't expect that we will be nothing but successful in everything we attempt, even those things we attempt in his name. You see, he knows our weaknesses. He knows that without him, we can do nothing. Because of our sinful nature, we will make many mistakes. What he's looking for from us is growth. Sometimes, as Paul reminds us, we're made strong through our weaknesses, and it's during these times that we learn the most. It's also those times when we more often reach out to God. In our weakness is when we see the most growth. Some of you probably know what it feels like to have a child that is desperately sick or injured, how powerless you felt because there was nothing you could do to change it. When this dad sees Jesus, he's probably at the lowest point of his faith. People have given him hope with the promise of a cure if they visited the disciples, but no miracle is to be found. His son was going to remain in the devil's clutches. So by now, he's probably a skeptic. As our text goes on, Jesus asks him how long the boy has suffered, and the father replies, since he was very small. The suffering and the hope of a cure had taken their toll, and the disciples offered only another roadblock. He has come here because he has nowhere else to go. He's at the end of his rope. He's tried everything else, and now the answer is the same. There's nothing we can do. Jesus then reminds the father that anything is possible for those who believe. And what does the father ask for? Faith. This is the first principle of regaining our childlike faith. Childlike faith believes in God, that he can do anything. It's a faith that recognizes that accomplishing the impossible is not about our ability or our strength. It's about God's power and God's strength. The faith of a child expects the impossible to happen with God. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. That's childlike faith. A person with childlike faith asks for help. Childlike faith is not perfect faith. There's room for doubt, but doubt doesn't win. Faith does. God doesn't expect perfection, but he does expect honesty. He wants his children to come to him in their struggle and to rejoice with him in their victories. He wants them to always be reaching for greatness. Here is how Jesus answers the question of who is to be the greatest. Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and he be drowned in the depths of the sea. Children are very precious to God. Not just because he created them, but because they are the closest people to being what he has created us to be. People who trust in God without question and who have the passion to shout Jesus at the top of their lungs when someone asks them the way to salvation. We have a lot to learn from our children in our church. God is inviting you to bring the seemingly impossible to him and to watch him work miracles in your life. Despite your questions, despite your doubts, he wants you to pursue him with childlike faith. Don't allow your past to rob you of what God wants for you in the present. Our Father in heaven is only a prayer away. When I think of prayer, I think about an experience I had in my last church. A young girl wanted me for some reason to see her younger sister pray. And when I did that, I came and I asked her, well, can you pray to Jesus for me? She just got so excited to start talking to Jesus, and that's what she did. It was just an honest, lovely prayer. Probably the most honest and lovely prayer I've ever heard. She spoke to Jesus as if he were her friend. She included things that one friend would say to another. It was so honest and beautiful. I mean, I'm almost brought to tears just remembering it, but now that kind of faith that I want. An honest faith, an open faith, a faith unconcealed, a childlike faith. This week we're going to celebrate both the start of Sunday school and the start of our preschool and kindergarten. Well, may we all take the chance to see childlike faith in action and be changed somehow. May God work in our own heart that same childlike faith, the kind of faith that shouts Jesus for everyone to hear. Amen. Let's take this time now to give back to God what He has so graciously given us through our tithes and our offerings.